of Jack while I'm not on my back. I'll eat a dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of Tim. Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, the U.S. military has stopped building a 3-mile-long, 12-foot-tall concrete wall separating a Sunni neighborhood from a Shia one. The Iraqi prime minister demanded the U.S. halt the project designed to dampen sectarian violence. Residents say the wall is too isolating. In Iraq today, suicide bombers killed at least 27 and wounded 60, including an attack on a Kurdish Democratic Party headquarters. Turkish media reported today Iran and the EU will meet in Ankara to discuss Tehran's uranium enrichment program. It will be the first such talk since the UN implemented new sanctions against Iran. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates will meet this week with Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk about the construction of U.S. anti-missile bases in Poland and the Czech Republic. Russia says the system will destabilize the region's security. In Paris, conservative Nicolas Sarkozy and socialist Ségolène Royal have won the first stage of France's presidential election. They face a runoff in 2 weeks. The election turnout was one of the largest in the country's history. In Lagos, Nigerians today await the result of Saturday's presidential election, which has unofficially been called in favor of the existing government. Opposition leaders and international monitors say the election was rife with corruption and intimidation. Today, the top Palestinian security chief quit, saying he was not able to bring law and order to the territories as he had promised. 9 Palestinians were killed this weekend by Israeli troops. It was the worst violence there in weeks. Students return to Virginia Tech today, a week after a fellow student killed 33 on campus. Since students have been told they are not required to continue classes, it's unknown how many of the 26,000 pupils will do so. In Cactus, Texas, residents are returning to their small rural panhandle area following a series of tornadoes Saturday that smashed buildings and injured 14. Georgia continues to burn out of control. Nearly 5,500 acres and 24 homes have been destroyed. 6,000 residents have been evacuated. 7-term Democratic Congressman Juanita Millander McDonnell has died of cancer in her Southern California home. She was 68. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
The Worldwide Fund for Nature has announced Ugandan mountain gorillas appear to be making a slow but steady comeback from the edge of extinction. 750 exist in the wild. The gentle giants are endangered by hunters, habitat destruction, and rebel armies. Australian zoologists have discovered higher temperatures can actually reverse the sex of dragon lizards before they hatch, transforming males into females. Scientists say their research may have implications for the effect of climate change. Following the poisoning of tens of thousands of pets from contaminated Chinese grains, the Associated Press has released an investigation. They say Americans eat billions of dollars worth of ingredients imported from countries with spotty safety records. Food inspectors are overwhelmed and unable to ensure the purity of foreign products. The Central California companies that produced E. coli-contaminated spinach have reached financial settlements with the families of three women who died after eating the leafy green. The dollar amount has not been released. Dozens more lawsuits are expected. Gas prices at the pump have gone up 8 cents in the past 2 weeks. That's according to the Lundberg survey. The highest priced gas is in San Francisco, the cheapest in Minneapolis. Light sweet crude at this hour trading at $64.31 a barrel. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Boxed, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. John Fox.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. It's, what is it, Wednesday over there? I think it's just turned Thursday over here. Welcome aboard, Foxed Up, everybody. Coming to you live from Sydney, Australia, as per usual. It might be the middle of the night here, but it's some other time wherever you are. okay. Before I get into, you know, the environmental stuff, I didn't talk about the Virginia Tech shooting yesterday because I thought that there had been enough done about it. However, my patience really got pushed after seeing some rebroadcast reports from the States over here and hearing all these comments about, now let's not jump to hasty action on gun control laws and all this stuff. Now, I was saying in the chat that I was going to hold, I had a little bit of a point to make, and the one that I said in the chat, which I stole from Bob, wasn't it? This is it. Okay. For all those meatheads who run their little I'm a free American militia nonsense, who say you can't take me guns because if you take me guns and the government gets out of control, we got to be able to fight back. Well, you know what? The government is out of control, your democracy has been stolen, and you haven't done anything. How about getting off your fat ass and stop shooting cans in the backyard, and if you really believe that stuff, march on to Washington. But I'll tell you right now, I have looked dead down the barrel of a number of guns in my lifetime. Having worked in the music industry, I've been stuck in a couple of very dodgy situations, and I have yet to consider going and buying one myself. I'm sick and tired of these people, you know. I think, you know, yeah, constitutional right, all that kind of crap. How about you know, all those other constitutional rights that we keep writing off? And how about the fact that when the assault weapons ban was fixing to run out, almost every police benevolence association across America was screaming bloody murder, saying the murder statistics have gone down since we've had this thing. Please, it's made our jobs easier. But no. I still think that, you know, if you go through clearances and stuff like that, you got hunting and stuff like that, but, like, how many people subsistence hunt anymore? Okay? You cannot tell me that you need a bloody, you know, a semi-automatic or automatic weapon that shoots a squillion bloody shells in a second to go and hunt quail. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely the whole discussion is so stupid. And what I think is really criminal, and this is what I was saying in the chat room during Joe's show. You know, it's really sad, and I'm stealing this from Bob Kincaid last night. You can go down the corner and have your rights to go and buy as many guns and as much ammunition as you want, but yet a sick person can't go and get mental health care that might have actually stopped this event from ever taking place. Seems as though there was plenty of warnings that this guy needed help. I do not believe that mental illness is any kind of crime. Please, you know, I'm not trying to make that kind of a connection. But what I'm saying is, you don't arm sick people. You treat sick people. You know what I mean? And, you know, hearing all these NRA freaks go bat crazy, going, "You can't take away my guns." Some of us remember that the day, I believe it was the day, that the KKK became listed as a terrorist organization, the NRA was born. It was either that or on the one-year anniversary on the day. I'm not exactly, you know, have to go back and watch Bowling for Columbine again. You know, it's brought the discussion up, you know, here, you know, do we need stricter gun control laws here in Australia? And for one of those rare instances, I actually agree with Howard. They don't, because you're not actually allowed, you know, it's not like the United States. You know, not everybody and their brother is armed. You know, and we here in Australia, it actually may have been one of the first things that John Howard, person who I cannot stand, did that was really, really responsible and listening to the people. They enacted some very strict gun control laws and went through some really big buyback schemes. And the murder rate in Australia went shoom, straight down. You know, we have occasional things that happen, of course. You know, and as this place gets more and more kind of overpopulated and we have more racial strife and whatnot that goes on here, yes, there are shootings that happen, but it's rare. Most of what you end up with is beatings, and it's a whole... It takes a lot more of a man to get face-to-face with somebody than to stand across the street and fire into their car. As far as I'm concerned, people walking around with guns loaded in their cars at the salad bar at the bloody steakhouse are pathetic, scared, weak, crappy, absolutely spineless individuals. And all this talk about, and I hear some of the nutcases saying, "Oh, well, you know, if all the students were armed, they could have stopped him." Oh, boy. You talk about slippery slopes. And you talk about just rampant stupidity. Absolutely insane. All right. I'm done being angry for now. We're going to take our first break here, folks. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head-On Radio Network here, America's liberal voice, America's real, real alternative voice. And we're going to come back, and we got some stuff about the UK finally, talking about the big white elephant standing in the middle of the room, and our track of the day, personal kind of favorite bit of my history, got a story to tell you, but we'll be back right after this. Strolling by with a rosebud smile. There are best of to kill.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the President's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in.
Agree or disagree? All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head-On Radio Network.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please, set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head-On Radio Network, and we got the Bobster, the Filibobster, producing the show today, and thank you very much, mate. Can always tell it's funny. I almost got fooled there for a second when I heard the Richard Clapton. I thought Agnes might have taken over. So you got to realize, folks, that we do this production via chat thing, and Bob and Agnes will play this little game where, you know, one will take over from the other, and then suddenly just kind of the syntax of the messages that come across just feel a little bit different, and then you kind of go, wait a minute, who am I talking to? But that's just nonsense stuff to talk about at this point. Okay. So the UN Security Council, and kind of interesting timing for that piece that I read yesterday with the former generals talking about climate change being a security issue. And Britain brought the whole thing up in the Security Council at the UN yesterday, and I think that this is a great move. Because, you know, it is already a security issue. It's going to become more and more of a security issue as crops continue to fail. You know, you look at Sudan, okay? The Sudan is a great example of conflict exacerbated by climate change. It's the drought that's driving so much of that conflict. You know, and so certain China and Russia are saying this isn't the forum for this. This should be with all the nations involved and all that. Well, yeah, it should be held, it should be talked about in general session as well. However, the Security Council should be concerned with all things that could impact international security. And if climate change is going to, you know, impact security of nation states, then it's obviously not a taboo topic for them. And Foreign Secretary Margaret Beckett, who chaired the meeting, and I'm taking this from Reuters, argued that the potential for climate change to cause wars had to move from the fringes of the debate to the Security Council, the most powerful UN body. She says, our responsibility in this council is to maintain international peace and security, including the prevention of conflict. An unstable climate will exacerbate some of the core drivers of conflict, such as migratory pressures and competition in resources. She noted that Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, whose economy depends on hydropower from a reservoir depleted by drought, had called climate change an act of aggression by the rich. And boy, is that spot on. Because it's going to be the poorest of people that are going to get slammed first. And it's just, it's, I'm really glad that this has been brought up. China's deputy ambassador, Zemin, was blunt in rejecting the session. The developing countries believe that the Security Council has neither the professional competence in handling climate change, nor is it the right decision-making place for extensive participation leading up to widely acceptable proposals. Well, I don't know if they're exactly the ones to come up with the plan, the international plan, to deal with the problem. However, they have their place in this debate, in this cause, in this movement, to discuss the impacts of climate change on security. I don't see why this is a hard stretch for anyone. Now, they may be the most powerful. Maybe they should then set up a special body to pressure nations like Australia and the United States to sign on to Kyoto. All right. And, you know, I know, you know, it's just, I get tied up in my own brain sometimes, folks, because I start getting a train of thought and it's all words I shouldn't be saying on air. So I have to stop myself, grunt and groan, swallow it back down, then come up with an alternative. But I really, really think that this is an appropriate venue for the conversation. In fact, every venue should be having this conversation about global warming, the destruction of our planet, and the fact that there is going to be great hardship unless There's already going to, actually, I shouldn't say unless, there's going to be great hardship down the road. How hard it's going to be and how we deal with it depends on us. And, you know, we talk about all these alternative fuel things and The one thing that we still fail to talk about, like gun control, is cutting our consumption. And that's where the real difference can be made. Cutting our consumption. And I know that that's a hard thing for a lot of people to swallow. But, hey, that's just the way it is. Okay. Time for the track of the day. And I was looking around, I'm looking through the hard drive, you know, and there's like 20,000 songs in there, and I'm going, where am I going to go? Well, I decided to go to a track from an old Texas band who's still happening these days, and a band called King's X. Now, your favorite hippie agnostic doesn't necessarily listen to too many Christian bands. Now, but these guys are slightly different. They just all happen to be Christian boys, and there was some light reference in some of the material, but they were a really great rock band first, great three-piece band, and wonderful, wonderful singers as well, and great harmony arrangements. Now, this track is called The Difference, and this track just stays in my memory because this was the warm-up song that in an old band that I had when I was living in Texas, my old band Truck, our lead singer and I was the only backing vocalist sitting there, you know, losing a lung while playing drums. This was the song that we used to sing to warm up vocally in the dressing room before gigs. And it's three-part harmony. There's a couple of extra overdubs in there. Some really, really nice guitar, like percussion kind of thing. It's off an album called When Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, which is actually kind of a fairy tale story. It's a concept record. And there was even a kid's book that went along with it. You know, most of it's really big guitar stuff, but this is an acoustic piece, and I just love the harmonies. It's very, very pretty. It's all very, very major keyed. But it's just really, really cool, and we used this as a warm up because it had really well spaced parts that we could jump around and warm up the different registers of our vocal range before we went on. And we used to sing this thing a cappella in the dressing room. We used to have a great time doing it. So, without further ado, King's X, roll it, Bob.
Thank you. There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. When the NRA, after lobbying day in and day out for the most promiscuous gun laws in the advanced world, suddenly expresses its condolences to the victims, when the president's spokesperson goes out of her way in the very instant of the tragedy to say that Bush supports the right to bear arms, when the networks use the occasion to promote their own coverage with their own logos and their own creepy music, you have to step back and say enough. Enough senseless gun violence in this country. 32 innocent people are dead because some deranged student was able to use guns to mow them down. As the novelist Jane Smiley points out, if the killer didn't have a gun, there's no way he could have inflicted such cold-blooded carnage. Enough callous resistance from the gun lobby. Enough pandering by politicians all the way up to the president. And enough glorification of violence in our culture, not just in Hollywood, but in the Pentagon. And in the White House, too, with the dark side vice president and the bring it on commander-in-chief. 32 needless deaths, the latest casualties of a society soaked in violence, where 10,000 people are murdered every year by guns. Enough. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see
it. Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a leader in the landscape of computer science and business education? Our J.D. Edwards Honors Program combines business strategy with next-generation computer software. That's how you teach leaders for the 21st century. I'd call that thinking outside the box. There is no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
This is the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Oh, my. Bob. Back, everybody. It's like I'm in a, you know, a Carlos Jobim-style club all of a sudden. That's cool. All right, where was I? I hope you like that King's X track. You know, they're one of those bands that kind of never made it overly huge. Had a couple of, you know, singles here and there, but had enough of a following and did enough gigs and sold out enough medium-sized shows when we still had venues for such things, that they, some like 13 albums last I checked, Out of the Silent Planet, I think that was the first one, and that's a really, really good record. But anyway, that was King's X. There's a really great track that I'll have to throw into the bumper mix sometime called Over My Head, and it's all about music, and the bass player, you know, Southern African-American gentleman with this just... You could hear him start singing over the top of that track when we played it. But this track is just all about him hearing his grandmother singing gospel songs upstairs. Just really, really cool. Question in the chat room. Texas Betsy's asking me, which is better, a regular fluorescent overhead light or a compact fluorescent lamp? Good bloody question. Now, I would kind of think it would probably be the compact. only because I do believe they require less phosphorus than an equivalent tube. But I also think that you would have to balance in also how many of them and the application, you know, that you're using it in. That's where I'd go on that. I don't have anything to back that up on, but what I'm really looking forward to is the next technology that is about to hit. Compact fluorescents are gonna go by the wayside probably in the next 2 years, because the next step is super bright LED bulbs. Because that technology has just skyrocketed, they're now developing, you know, full-on globes based on super bright LEDs. And these require no phosphorus. White LEDs, the chemical that's between the two plates that actually creates the light, I do believe is inert, as opposed to the phosphorus that is in fluorescent lights. This is why if you break a fluorescent tube, you shouldn't handle it with your bare hands, because you can absorb the phosphorus straight through your skin. Super bright LEDs. In fact, out the back of our house here, where we live, there's no exterior lighting yet. It's something that when the owners of this place rebuilt kind of got overlooked. And a local electronics shop, it's kind of our version of what Radio Shack used to be like 30 years ago, the place where you went and bought parts and people built things, as opposed to the consumer electronics nonsense that it is now. And we call them Tandies here. They have been offering over the last few months super bright LED solar powered outdoor lighting, and I mean we're talking floodlights comparable to 95 watts. One day's charge gives enough battery life for 8 hours running time overnight. Now, I went to go buy one or two. They've been sold out for 2 months. They cannot keep them in stock. And I mean, how cool? You need some lighting outside? No cabling to run. You just got to mount the thing. Some of them come with motion sensors. And I mean, the most flash one goes for under the, I think under $160 Australian. And that ain't bad, considering the fact that it will, once you put it up, it'll never cost you another penny until such time as you might need to replace the battery, which wouldn't be all that expensive anyway. But yeah, super bright LEDs. You know, you see them, you know, you get them in the little flashlights and stuff now, and they can create an amazing amount of light. They are fairly easy to manufacture. And they have an even longer lifespan than a compact fluorescent. Technically, unless you damage it, LEDs don't burn out. Rarely do they ever burn out. I've been dealing with, you know, professional audio gear for, you know, longer than I really want to admit. And, you know, big mixing consoles use a lot of bloody LEDs. And every piece of extra, you know, peripheral gear, compressors, you know, delay units, processors, all that stuff, all use LEDs for level meters and you know... Mute switch lights and, you know, bus switches and all that kind of stuff. And very rarely did I ever have to send one off to a shop because the LEDs burned out. You know, if a meter bridge went out, it meant that there was some other problem. It was usually something before the meter. But, you know, so this again comes into this concept that, you know, things lasting. This is, again, less consumption. So, you know, I mean, compact fluorescents are a really great thing. They do have some minor drawbacks, and that is the phosphorus. So, I mean, we need to deal with, they need to be disposed of properly. But then again, you trade that off with the fact that, you know, here in the studio here, I've got three lights going to give enough light for doing the video podcast thingy that we're working on. And even though I'm getting the equivalent of probably, you know, close to 200 watts of light, I'm only burning about 30 watts of power. See, the one that does 75 watts compared to an incandescent is 11 watts draw. The one that is 60 is 9 watts draw. And I got two of those going. I'm really looking... how's this for a weird statement? I'm looking forward to my next power bill. Because it's been in this quarter that we have converted every single light fixture in the house to compact fluorescence. There's not an incandescent bulb running in this house at all anymore. And I'm curious to see what difference in our usage will be, factoring in the fact that we are going from summer into autumn, so we will have used, actually, lights more often. And then, you know, we also turned over to 100% renewable energy over here. So, that, I mean, I still can't even tell you how happy that makes me that I was able to make that move, you know. I still think it's just the coolest thing. And I kind of like to throw it out there to people I know and say, this is what we've done, and you see them go, ooh, and you can see that the guilty conscience starts going, you know, because, you know, I got friends that you know, have slightly more lucrative careers than I do at the moment, and you can see them going, if John's forking out for it, maybe I should. And it's purely whether you can at the moment, but I'm more than happy to pay that dollar a day to know that all my electricity is being bought from renewable sources, and then I'm investing in more renewable generation into the grid. It's a groovy thing. But anyway, we'll get off of that. Enough of my blowing my own horn. Horn. we're kind of coming up on the last break, so I won't get into the next thing. We'll wait until we come back. So, we're gonna get. I got a couple of things. Electric scooter. And I think from the Discovery Channel on a test on organic produce. This is kind of interesting, and it kind of relates to something that I was talking about last night or the night before. So stick around, everybody. We got just a little bit more of the show coming up before we go pass it off to Jeff Allen Wolf. So stick around. You listen to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping the project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
You have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically. Before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Buddy, you're here. John, he fucked up program. And I always love when I see that people have found like a blog post on the Horn via Google search, and they've been, you know, searching like Fox News. we're working on taking back the goodness of the name Fox single-handedly. All right. Anyway, enough with the UN thing. It was a good thing, and I reckon Beckett was spot on. This thing from the Discovery Channel, and I do believe it, I found this via our good friends at treehugger.com, and there's a link to the Discovery News on today's show post. And it says here, because I was mentioning the other day that you got to watch out with people jumping, you know, corporations jumping on the green bandwagon. Now, some of them do the right thing. A lot of them are doing the right thing. But then you have those that will use clever wording or realize, you know, try and make themselves look or act green and just go on doing the same old thing. And we had this problem with Walmart and their organic stuff that wasn't organic. And you have companies that will, you know, have one organic ingredient in a product and then just label it as being wholly organic, which is this is the kind of stuff you got to be careful about. And it's called, people are referring it to as greenwashing. But it says here, organic food test detects false labels. A new test could help identify fraudulent labeled organic foods, say British scientists. It's based on testing the food for signs of synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, which are banned in organic farming methods. Allison Bateman of the University of East Anglia in Norwich and colleagues reported their findings in a recent issue of the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry. There are a number of food test designs to pick up residues of synthetic pesticides and herbicides that are not permitted in organic farming. But Bateman and her team are developing a test to see whether foods have been grown using synthetic nitrogen fertilizers based on testing the food's nitrogen isotope composition. Now, there are close to 100 countries, I believe, have some sort of organic overseeing testing body. And so you get yourself certified. And, you know, so that this is, you know, you have someone from the body comes and, you know, occasionally tests your soil and, you know, checks your stuff. And, like, Australia's got some of the toughest. To ensure that you actually are growing in an organic way. And, you know, they even look at, you know, your neighbors and what they're doing, because that can have an effect on you. And so you have to be careful. I now know that I have to look very, very closely at stuff that's marked organic, you know, to see that it actually has the Australian certification on it. And so if you see something labeled organic and it has nothing like the whatever your local overseeing body is, you know, stamp of approval, well, you probably should be wary. And this is a really, really good thing here, you know, because it says conventionally in this, going back to the piece here at Discovery, conventionally grown lettuce and tomatoes, for instance, contain nitrogen isotope ratios of the kind found in synthetic fertilizers. Their research found. The team says this isotope test could potentially be used to detect conventional produce grown using synthetic fertilizers that is fraudulently labeled as organic. But the test can't say for certain whether synthetic fertilizers have been used. Rather, the test can determine whether it is unlikely or highly unlikely that a food with a particular nitrogen isotope composition would have been grown without synthetic nitrogen fertilizers. And the test is likely to be more useful for some crops than others, say the researchers. But this is a first step in, you know, as we build oversight into this, because this is one of the concerns that I've been having recently, that, you know, now it's becoming this chic thing and very much good PR for business to be green. There are always going to be those that will try and paint themselves green. You know, so, you know, when McDonald's decides to come out and say that they're doing organic Big Macs, don't believe them, because of the same people that said they were making a veggie burger that had bone meal in it. Okay? So this is the kind of thing that concerns me. That there will be people that will want to profiteer on what's happening, but won't do the hard yards. And it just takes away from those companies and those individuals that are doing the right thing, that are trying to make a difference, because we can actually make a difference. I've been reading, and I've got it right here, The Weathermakers from Tim Flannery, who is the Australian of the Year, and he's a scientist, and it's an amazing book so far, and he made the comment of, okay, if 60% carbon reduction by 2030, I think, is his goal, that he says is what's necessary to actually rein this thing in, right? Now, if every person who owned one of these planet-killing SUVs went and bought a hybrid, they would actually already be making that difference just with that. Okay, so this stuff isn't hard, but everybody's got to do it. Okay? I already didn't have a car. We do the mass transit thing. We walk to go and do our shopping. We've got these groovy little two-wheeled dollies that, you know, we can go and do an entire week's worth of shopping and just wheel it on home. And, you know, we pick the place that we live because it's close to Gail's work and it's walking distance to the train station and shopping. Yes, bag lady carts. You got it, mate. And I love my bag lady cart. Even one of them has like on a really good, you know, hand truck, the three wheels triangulated on either side, so it can like climb staircases. And one of them is a really bad green plaid, but I tell you what, it's heavy duty. Yeah, we need a better name for them. Smart carts. But, you know, so I am pretty. I'm gonna work on some math, you know, as over the next couple of quarters with my power bills and whatnot. I do believe that this household and this studio, where this program originates from, will now be almost 100% carbon neutral, and that's without buying any credits. It's purely just by cutting consumption, changing how our power is generated, and big one, mass transit. And I know that doesn't work for everybody, you know, and it really doesn't work in Sydney for most of it. You have to be very selective about where you live. And being selective in Sydney about where you live is a trick too. Especially if you're renting, because, well, there's only about, we're at like 99 point something or other percent occupancy and rental accommodation in this city. It's absolutely just shocking here. But we can make a difference, you know, and if I can walk the talk, then a whole lot of other people that can afford a whole lot more can do the same. But it's whether or not you want to sacrifice just a little bit for the rest of the world, and for your kids and for your grandkids. And if you don't have kids or grandkids, for your nieces, your nephews, and your friends' kids. And with that, we're going to wrap it up for today. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Bob Kincaid for producing today and just picking some great music. I love when you produce, man. It tosses it around a little bit, you know, and you throw me curveballs at the music. It's kind of fun. Different curveballs than Agnes does. And I want to thank very much our moderators in the chat room, our bloggers, the news ninjas. Hi-ya! And thanks to Ben Burke at White Rose Society for everything that he does for us, streaming and archiving. He's still got the fundraiser going on. You got to go over there and do the right thing. Thanks to the Carpenters for everything that they do for us. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers, thank you very much, blah, 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 blah. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about
full garbage like this, let me read the first paragraph because, like I said, we're going to tear this one apart. The news story read from the Associated Press. It was blasted on all the headlines on AOL, Yahoo. Drudge did it to death. Matt Drudge, you piece of crap. You had this on your Washington link, and you had it three times in a row, the same link. Al-Qaeda number three says he planned 9-11 right below it. Al-Qaeda number three says he planned 9-11 right below it. Al-Qaeda number three says he planned number 11. In fact, out of seven listed stories, four out of the seven were the same exact headline about Al-Qaeda number three says he planned 9-11. When you click on those links, it's the same damn story. The conservatives have got to be kidding us. They think we're going to buy this garbage. They think we're going to buy this garbage. It just boggles the mind. I don't know what to say.
Do they think we actually buy this crap?
They think we actually buy this crap, folks. They think this revelation about the mastermind behind 9/11 makes a difference how we see the Bush administration in the Iraq War. I'm going to read the first paragraph, okay? By the way, this is the reprint of the story several hours later. The first story, when it came out, said a different number, and I'll correct it as we go along, so bear with me. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed confirmed his notoriety as Al-Qaeda's most ambitious operational planner when, according to military transcripts, he confessed to planning and supporting 31 terrorist attacks topped by 9/11 that killed thousands of innocent victims since the early 1990s. When the story first came out, it was 29, folks. When I saw the story again, it was 31. When I saw the story recently today before I went on the air, it was 28. This man has confessed to everything.